Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey, friends, and happy, what day is it? I don't even know. Is it Thursday? I think it's Thursday. Happy Thursday to everybody, and happy January. We are continuing along in a new year together, and listen, if you haven't joined in already, I want to invite you to join in on our 52 Habits for Healthy Parenting journey. We are going to be doing this right here on the Dr. Nurse Mama Radio Show all throughout 2024. It is never too late to join in. So you might be thinking, hey, this is the first I've heard of it. It's not too late. Even if we get to June, it will never, ever be too late to begin something new and to decide that today is the day to invest in your parenting journey. Now, listen, this is for any parent, a parent, a godparent, a bonus parent, a grandparent, any adult who is invested in the next generations of kids. Now that is Gen Z, who we have now and coming up behind them. You may or may not have heard about them. We have Gen Alpha, and we're just starting to learn about their unique characteristics. And Gen Z really needs us. They need our old school parenting skills to meet their fresh new worldview, and partnering together to navigate life's toughest issues, I'm convinced that building healthy relationships is the key to do that. So let me do a quick recap. If you're already all in, well, then you can just give yourself a pat on the back right here and say, good job. If you're just now joining, or if you've done some, it's a good time to catch up. We have issued 4 healthy habits already for 2024. So we're coming to the close of January. We have talked about 1, incorporating prayer more into your daily life. Now, the great thing about this challenge is that it doesn't have any benchmarks. You get to make those your own because it is not about perfection. This is about progress. And parenting is much more in the small consistencies, faithful service over time, much more than in the grand gestures. So just, I challenge you to be faithful in those little things. So that may be just starting to pray before your meal, if that's not your custom to do, or praying before bedtime, or just praying as you're driving in the car. For me, I'm keeping a prayer journal. I'm trying to write in it every Sunday, and I'm going back and looking and rejoicing in those prayers answered and reminding myself of God's faithfulness. So 1 is prayer. 2 is memorizing scripture. This is a game changer for your parenting game, having God's wisdom and then sharing that with your kids, I assure you, is much better than any wisdom that you can come up with on the spot. So this is just however many scriptures you want to memorize. There are a lot of resources out there to do this. Just decide that you're going to memorize scripture this year, whether that's 1 verse or if you have a loftier goal, I'll tell you, I'm really challenging myself. I am trying to memorize 52 scriptures, 1 a week. I'm sharing that with you on my Instagram, on my Facebook at Dr. Nurse Mom. You can follow along if you want. So far, I have memorized 4 scriptures. I'll tell you them really quickly here. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, Psalm 56:3. I will instruct and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you, Psalm 32:8. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation, Isaiah 12:2. Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established, Proverbs 16:3. This comes in so handy for me when I'm counseling my kids who may be often afraid of something. I can tell them, don't be afraid, I'm here with you. But it's such a powerful follow-up to say, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. The other thing I think scripture comes in handy is when we're advising kids sometimes, or even your friends or your peers, when people present you with a challenge, sometimes I think as Christians, we feel like it's a pop quiz. Oh, am I going to say the right thing? I need to say something incredibly insightful and spiritually wise here. And sometimes we just may not have that. But you almost can't go wrong with just sharing a scripture of encouragement and God's word. So that's habit number two. Habit number three, plugging into a local church. We have had several guests talking about this. We talked on the road with Pastor David Adams, a really great conversation about the value and the benefit of plugging into a local church. Now, this can be hard for some families with scheduling, with trauma or hurt that you may have experienced before. But for me, as a science profession, looking at research, we know research supports that kids who go to church are generally happier and healthier. So I encourage you to plug in. If you just attend worship, then challenge yourself and join a life group, join a small group, go to a weekly Bible study, volunteer, do something to plug in. And the habit that we've introduced this week is listening to Christian music. Now, I'm not saying that's all you have to listen to. That's not the challenge. But I'm just saying incorporate it more into your daily life. Music is extremely powerful in our moods and it influences our thoughts and our actions. And I would encourage you, if your kids have, you know, a Spotify or Amazon or some other music streaming playlist, if you haven't taken a look at what is on their playlist, maybe if they have Spotify, they do an annual year-end recap and you can go and see what it is that they're listening to, just go and start reading the lyrics of what they are listening to. And it may surprise you. And the truth is, because of the emotional connection that we have to music, these messages are often messages that you are competing with as a parent, because you may be telling them something, but that music lyric is telling them something different. You may tell them to find hope. They may tell you it's hopeless. And I think it's important for us to look at that when we compare the messages that are in often the top 10 of Billboard secular music, which if you've been out of that for a while, you honestly might find, and you would find, pretty shocking. When we compare that with lyrics like, "My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love," or whatever other lyrics that might be, "Come thou fount of every blessing," reminding us to be grateful. It's really important. And I shared this before, but I'll share it again. Music gives us earworms. Now, I know that's a gross and squirmy term, but it was actually coined in Germany more than a century ago to describe the phenomenon of a song being stuck in your head. And scientists found that that auditory complex in your ear is activated when it hears music, but it's reactivated when you imagine hearing a song. So that is really important. Even if we think of that song, our auditory complex hears that song and starts playing that message in our brain. So I can tell you, hands down, one of the best, most heartwarming experiences that I've had as a parent is to hear my kids playing those messages as they're cleaning their room or doing the dishes, or maybe they're even singing them themselves. So that is my challenge, is to look and see, if you're not listening to Christian music, how can you incorporate it more into your daily life? Now, one way that you could do that is AFR's music streaming. You can go online and find that. They have playlists that are curated for you and music that will encourage you. You can also find me on Spotify at Dr. Nurse Mama. I have curated themed playlists, some for peace, some for victory, some for joy, some for hope. And honestly, I play those a lot depending on my mood. And because I've curated them in advance, I can say, all right, you know what? I am feeling really anxious today. My peace playlist is going to be on repeat. Or I'm feeling really, really defeated today. I just feel like everything has gone wrong. Everything has been wrong. So I'm going to play that victory playlist on repeat. I do have a new 2024 playlist. That's my go-to for the beginning of the year. So maybe this is putting this on the preset of your car, or playing it in the background of your home, or playing it when your kids are in the car. I just encourage you to flood your hearts and your mind with those positive messages. So that's it. That's really it, is just looking at ways that we can stack these habits together to transform our parenting. So much of our parenting is not about controlling our kids' actions. I think that's what maybe even people are expecting me to share is, oh, here are the ways to make your children clean better. Here are the ways to make your children mind more when they're in the grocery store or eat their vegetables. And those things are important. But listen, I can tell you from my professional clinical perspective that the most effective way to get any kid to do anything, now this is really big stuff, so listen in here, lean in. This is honestly a proven life hack, I guess, if you will. The way to get your kids to do what you want them to do is to do it yourself. That is just the truth. There is no more foundational concept than that. If you want them to read their Bible, if you want them to pray, if you want them to go to church, if you want them to listen to Christian music, if you want them to be kind, to speak kindly, to do any of those things you want them to do, you model that behavior. So that's our invitation. Continue to listen in every week as we debut a new healthy habit. So I hope that you're joined in. And by the way, Stephanie, my producer, and I are keeping track of where you're from. So when I post those habits, or if you're listening live right now, go ahead and drop in, hey, I'm listening from whatever state you're listening from. And we would love to have parents from all 50 states in the country joining us in this challenge to develop 52 habits for healthy parenting. So just comment on the live stream or anytime I'm posting about that on Instagram or Facebook. We would love to know where you're from. And at the first of every month, we'll give you an update on how many states we have represented. But we can be encouraged by knowing that there are parents all over who have the same heartbeat for their kids. We want our kids to grow up and to love God and to serve others and just to live joyful lives. I don't think any parent wants any more than that. So I encourage you to listen in. Now, today you are going to have me as I'm going to put on my teaching hat a little bit, my professor hat. We'll go with that doctor and the professor part of me today. And I want to talk to you about some really important things. We are partnering with Preborn. American Family Radio is partnering with Preborn this year to provide ultrasounds for moms. This is really important. I'm going to tell you about it. And then today on the program, I'm going to walk you through some of the miracles of fetal development. Now, some of you out there may be very well versed in this, but for others, I think it's a great reminder of the miracle that occurs in life. So we'll talk about that. I'll talk to you about how to talk to kids about their bodies and purity and how to respond to teen pregnancy. Should that happen in your family, in your church, in your social circle, I want to talk about that. So since 2007, Preborn has partnered with pregnancy clinics in all across the nation, providing life-saving ultrasounds. So when a mother sees her baby on ultrasound and hears that heartbeat, a mom is twice as likely to choose life. And we want to provide ultrasounds for parents, for mothers. You can call 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396, or you can just go online to afr.net. Now, the goal is to provide 4,500 ultrasounds. 4,500. That's what we want to do. Can you imagine that? Think back if you are a mom or even a dad who's been in an ultrasound room to see that magical moment when you see that baby's heartbeat, when you see that baby waving at you. And there are some moms who can't afford to get that ultrasound. And Preborn provides the ultrasound and services for up to 2 years, including baby clothes, diapers, car seats, counseling, and much more. So we want to provide, again, 4,500 ultrasounds. So call in 877-616-2396, and you be the one to do that. $28 provides provides one ultrasound. So maybe that's you today. Don't go away. When we come back, we got much more to talk about.
You're listening to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show with Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
And if you've been listening in, I've been giving a reminder of our journey, 52 Habits for Healthy Parenting. I know I'm talking about this a lot. I want you to join in and I want you to be welcome and to be a part of our group. So I hope that you will do that. Now, if you were one of the people who calling in during the break to give $28 to provide an ultrasound to a woman who is expecting a baby, we thank you so much for that. We are trying to get to 4,500 ultrasounds provided for women. So again, you can call 877-616-2396, or you can go online to afr.net. Now, I am a pediatric nurse practitioner. That is my profession. That is what I do. And I have always worked with kids or in the maternity pediatric realm. And it's funny because sometimes my family will call me and they will ask me for help. And I will think, I do not know about elder people problems. And wow, I'm glad that some people do, because I need someone to take care of me as I get up in that age. But I have just always loved taking care of mamas and babies and growing families. And in this episode today, when we're talking about preborn, I want to walk you through what happens during a pregnancy. I think this is such an amazing thing to talk about and see those major, major changes. So let's dive in, and I'm just going to walk you through it. I told you I was going to put on my professor hat, so here it is. The first trimester. Now, what is absolutely amazing to me is that most fetal development is going to happen during that first trimester. I'm not talking about growth, but development is amazing, and it's amazing what happens before a woman even knows that she is expecting a baby. So when we have a baby that is formed, this fertilized egg turns into what is called a blastocyst. And that is going to be the beginning of pregnancy. And if it implants itself, then that is signals to your body already to start making hormones to say, this body needs to support this body that's growing inside the body. Mom's body needs to support the baby. And that is really amazing to me that that happens. So already by week 5, the neural tube, which is the brain, the spinal cord, and the other neural tissue of the central nervous system, it forms. So we call it the heart. It's really like a little heart tube at week 5. But get this, it starts beating 110 times a minute by the end of the 5th week of pregnancy, which really those first 2 weeks of pregnancy are just the woman's body preparing for pregnancy. So we're talking about only three weeks it takes to develop a beating heart tube. Now, week 6, we have tiny little buds that start to become arms and legs, and blood cells start taking shape, and circulation even begins, which is just amazing to me. You can start to see structures that will become the ears, the eyes, and the mouth. And a healthcare provider can actually detect that beating heart on an internal ultrasound. Now, week 7, we start seeing bones replace soft cartilage. The baby's head is big in proportion to the body. And some people will say this is the stage where it looks like a little tadpole or a seahorse, but that's the kind of shape that you're looking at if you've seen some images of that. By week 8, all of the major organs and body systems are already in development. Now, did you catch that? By week 8, all of the major organs and body systems are developing. We see web-like hands and feet that are starting to form. We can start to see eyes becoming visible. We start to see ears growing. And that is amazing. So at this 8 weeks, you're talking about half an inch to an inch long, about the size of a bean. Now, month 3 is where we go, weeks 9 through 12. So at week 9, We have teeth and taste buds that are forming, which is incredible because then we can see that babies like or don't like maybe what moms eat. And we have babies, it's interesting, you can look at studies that show moms eating a lot of sugar, or if they have a sugary dessert or treat, we can see babies starting to suck more in the womb because they like that sweet taste. But we're talking at week 9. We see teeth, we see taste buds, we see muscles forming, and the body shape starts to look more like what we would recognize as a baby. And we can hear that heartbeat by week 9, usually with a Doppler ultrasound. Now, by week 10, we have arms, we have hands, we have fingers, we have feet, we have toes. There's no more webbed fingers. We have fingers that we can see, and babies starting to suck their thumb. We see fingernails and toenails starting to develop with the external ears. Now, the external reproductive organs are starting to form, but it's a little too early yet to see that on the ultrasound. And that's, I know, what a lot of parents want to see is, what am I having? Am I having a girl or a boy? So by ultrasound, it's a little too early, although there are some tests that can be done earlier to determine what is the baby's gender. Week 11, the fetus is starting to explore a little bit. It's doing things like opening and closing its fists and its mouth, its knees, elbows, ankles are working, but it's a little too soon to feel any kicks. We're starting to see bones hardening and facial features become more prominent. Now, by week 12, by the end of that first trimester, all the organs, all the limbs, all the bones, all the muscles are present, and they will continue to develop till they're fully functional. We also see organ systems working, like the circulatory system, digestive system, urinary system. I mean, it is amazing. So the fetus takes in and puts out amniotic fluids. That's how we start to see that circulation build, which is amazing. Then we start into the second trimester. By this time, you know, that's when mamas are starting to feel like, okay, this is really happening. And by week 13, I think this is so incredible. Week 13 of development, we see vocal cords form. And week 14, their skin starts to be a little thicker, a little less translucent. Fine hair starts to grow, can start bringing its fingers to its mouth, turning its head, showing a little bit of personality. I know I saw that with my kiddos when we had ultrasounds. I could tell their personality in the womb. I could tell who was active, who was chill, and it was amazing to see. By week 15, we have some organs like the intestines and their ears, they're moving to their permanent location where they're supposed to be. And the baby starts using amniotic fluid to practice breathing, but its lungs are still in development. They're not mature enough yet to live outside the womb. But we start to see a lot more purposeful movements, like even smiling. Week 16, we see development of lips and more development of ears enough that we can see the baby responding to sound, which is incredible. That's why there are a lot of studies that have shown playing classical music in the womb is beneficial, and babies can recognize the sound of their mother's voice and often their dad's voice, which is why dads should talk to the mama's tummy, because they really can hear, especially starting at that 15, 16 weeks. And even though its eyes are closed, they react to light by turning away from it, which is just absolutely incredible. So by the end of that fourth month, we're talking about a baby that is about 5 inches long and weighs about 4 ounces and is roughly the size of an avocado. Month 5 starts with week 17, so we start to see still maturing of the skin and more protective factors. We see some hair growing. By week 18, we're seeing a sleep-wake cycle. And expectant mamas can tell you, I know my baby will sleep sleep during the day. A lot of times that's because they're walking around and the baby's feeling that rhythmic padding, that rhythmic pattern that lulls them to sleep. But a lot of times when moms lay down to sleep at night, then that baby has a lot of room to stretch and they may keep mom awake at night. But they also, loud noises can wake up the baby if it's asleep. So you may have experienced this at a prenatal appointment in trying to get the baby to wake up so that you can reposition or get a different read on the heartbeat. By week 19, we've got a baby that's getting stronger, and most mamas are going to start to say they feel kicks, they feel punches. But get this, by week 19, the baby has a unique set of fingerprints. That's when we can distinguish fingerprints on a baby, and it may start having the hiccups, which can be really, really annoying and kind of funny. Week 20, the baby's nails are growing all the way toward the end of its fingers. And the area of the brain responsible for the five senses is really beginning to develop. And by the end of that fifth month, we've got a baby that's 9 to 10 inches long and weighing about a pound. Now, month 6, week 21, we see limb movements that are coordinated, that are frequent. We see a baby that has bone marrow that's starting to produce its own blood cells. By week 22, the baby's hand grasp is getting stronger. It can touch its ears. It can touch its umbilical cord. It can hear its mom's heartbeat. It can hear stomach growling. It can hear your breathing, which is amazing. And by week 23, this is generally considered to be what we call the age of viability. If the baby is born after the 23rd week with specialized intensive care, it is possible for it to survive. And week 24, we don't have lungs that are fully, the lungs are fully developed, but they don't work well enough outside of the mama's body. And then from there, we go into the third trimester where really the baby's job is just to grow and mature and put on weight. But it is amazing the rapid development that happens in such a short period of time. So if you are expecting, if somebody in your family is expecting, this is a great opportunity to talk to your other kids, maybe school-age kids, about the way that the baby's growing. You can show them, you know, here's a bean. This is how big the baby is now. Here is an avocado. Here's a cantaloupe. Here's how big the baby is growing. And let them really be invested. Now, I can tell you, when I was expecting my second daughter, I think honestly, from the moment that I told my older daughter that I was expecting, they were automatically already best friends. Like, it just happened in that moment. She was so invested even before she was born. She was helping with the preparation. She was folding clothes and, you know, just wanting to pick out outfits and get the nursery just right. It was so fun to involve them together. Now, a lot of times parents can be really just feel uncomfortable about how do we talk about these things? And I think that it shouldn't be a talk or the talk, but this is an ongoing conversation that honestly starts from very, very young, from infancy, and it should be an open conversation over time. Now, I'll share with you pretty transparently, as I've shared before in my book, that I did not have a lot of open conversation when I was growing up, and I was really not told very much, as I know a lot of us in our generation were not, and that can happen. But I, you know, imagine me as a nursing school student, pretty naive, and going into nursing school. I was 18 years old and sitting in my reproductive class. I'll tell you, I was sitting in the back of the room because I usually did that, trying to be invisible. And they get up to start to give a lecture on reproduction. And I'll tell you, I was taking notes so fast, I thought my pen was going to catch my paper on fire. I could not believe all of the information that was being given to me. It was all new. I hadn't heard any of it. And I kind of peeked around the room to see, is everybody else listening to this? And to my shock and surprise, there were a lot of people sleeping. And I thought, how can you sleep through this? Do you not know this? And it was really kind of a rude awakening. And I think that we can do a good job as parents in guiding our kids along the way, telling them information as they grow that is developmentally appropriate, and responding to their questions as they come. So this starts even with infants and toddlers. We do this as parents, just helping them to name their body parts, just knowing what their body parts are and what they do. By the time they start to get to be preschoolers, they can understand that their body is private. They need to know the boundaries of appropriate touch. So they need to know good touch and bad touch, and they need to be comfortable in pushing back and saying no, that if they're uncomfortable with a touch. So that's saying, you know, these are your private parts, and telling them the names for those things, and telling them that it's okay for mommy or daddy to help you with this, or Grammy or whatever other caregiver is helping with this, or if you're at a medical appointment, but it's not okay for anybody else to see or touch you. And if that happens, tell them no and come and tell me. Those kinds of things are important. School-age children need to know puberty basics, and they need to know it before it happens, because it can be genuinely terrifying if their body starts to change and they're not prepared to respond to that change. And they think, oh my gosh, am I dying? Like, what is this? Is this normal? Is this not normal? And it's painfully embarrassing to initiate questions. So we need to do that. They need to know the importance of hygiene and self-care. Preteens need to know the basic physical functions of reproduction, and teens need to increasingly know the details of that, how their body works and the things that they will face and how they can walk in purity. And we should approach those conversations with normalcy and body positivity. It's not a secret thing so much as it is a sacred thing, but it can be really hard to do. When we come back, I'll talk to you more about how to talk to your kids about that. We'll be sure to revisit that more in depth at a later time. And I'll also talk about how to respond to teen pregnancy. In the meantime, if you want to sponsor an ultrasound for preborn, call 877-616-2396. We'll see you in just a second.
Podcasts of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Hey friends, welcome back. We are talking about talking to our kids about the birds and the bees. There is no other subject that can make parents shake in their boots. I'll shake in my Texas boots right here. Honestly, it makes our palms sweaty. It makes our butterflies in our stomach. Like, we just think, oh, I don't want to talk to my kids about this. But this is a sacred thing, a sacred element of us that God created. And we really need to help our kids to feel comfortable in their bodies in the way that God created them. And so even though these are awkward conversations, it is our job as parents to lead them in that, and to lead with courage and empathy, and to be authentic in the awkward. I'm not saying that as this goes on, oh, you'll get better, it'll get better, don't worry, it'll feel more comfortable, because it won't. You're always trying to introduce a new topic, or there's something new that comes up, and these questions can always be feel just a little uncomfortable, but they need to feel comfortable coming to you about it. You need to feel comfortable having uncomfortable conversations. And so that's important. And really, you know, for me, looking at your partnership with a healthcare provider, finding someone you trust literally with your life, and even I think sometimes more importantly, someone you like, someone who you feel like you can be a partner with, is really important. And they can help guide you along the way as you're going for well child visits to say, this is what is developmentally coming. Listen, I've spent years learning about what we call anticipatory guidance, helping parents to know what is coming. So we are trained. We can see, oh, there are signs of puberty that are happening here. Here, let me give you some resources to help you prepare your child for it and to have conversation about it. Those can be guide points, because you a lot of parents will think, well, when do I know? How do I know when to talk about something? Well, having those well child visits when they give you that packet of information can be a really good prompt to say, this is when you should start talking about it. And while I'm here, I think it's important for parents to know that they need at some point to transition their kids to talking to their healthcare providers on their own, because you can't do everything for them and then expect them to go off to college or into the workforce or be adults and then all of a sudden know how to give their health history. And if you're on social media, you'll see some funny reels about that, about grown children texting their mom saying, hey, do I have any allergies to medications? Hey, do I have any past medical conditions? Can you just fill this form out for me, mom? And I've seen some funny ones as a healthcare provider. So I've seen who to call in case of emergency. Someone put my mom. With no phone number, just call my mom. That was better than calling 911, which, thank you, that was so helpful. But really think about it, and being and having kids comfortable with talking about the physical symptoms or the concerns they have with their body is an important way of normalizing that and allowing them to seek help and healthcare, which we all need at some point or some time. And so I want you to think about that as you're preparing your kids for the healthcare environment. And again, letting them help you talk about those kinds of things. Now, we have talked about on other shows, and we will talk more in depth in the future about the boundaries of parental consent and when you should let your kid talk to a healthcare provider alone without you present, all of those questions. I know. So if you're wondering about that, stay tuned. That is coming up, and we will talk about that as time goes on. But for today, we are talking about the thing that happens that most parents think is not going to happen. And this can happen to every parent, where you just are experiencing what you don't imagine. You are just thinking the unthinkable. And a lot of times as parents, we have what I call the not my kid mantra. We just think, oh, my kid would never do that. My kid would never be in that situation. And we don't even allow our minds to go there because it's too scary, because it's just too overwhelming, or because we just really genuinely think that our kids wouldn't do that. But let me reframe your mindset and your expectation in today's world where our kids are living at the speed of a smartphone. A lot of times they can get themselves in situations that they did not intend to get themselves into. And I have personally counseled many, many teenage girls who have found themselves unexpectedly pregnant. And a lot of times as parents, we first think, oh my gosh, they have violated their morals. They have rejected every value that we have ever taught them. But parents, let me tell you, their brains don't work that way yet. Teen brain development is still in its very early stages of being able to reason out complex thoughts like that, complex concepts. And mainly, it is usually a failure of decision making. Now, when I counsel a teen girl who is now expecting, they don't tell me, yes, well, I don't care what my parents said about my activities and what I do on when I'm on dating or when I'm with my boyfriend or anything like that. They don't say, oh, I don't care about that. I'm going to do whatever I want. They say, oh my gosh, I got in this situation and I just couldn't find a way out. The action is happening so fast, they cannot reason their way out of it. They cannot think logically to get themselves out of that situation. So if you back up and find out how they got in that situation, most of the time you'll find it was a failure of decision making. And if we go in straight into that saying, you know, you have let us down, you have let your family down, you have really messed up, they already feel like that. They already feel like that. They already feel guilty. And all we do is pile shame on top of that. And that's a really tough place to be. And so, again, I often meet families at a point of crisis they just never saw coming. And there are a lot of times when parents are in this situation, they don't come in and say, well, you know, I figured this would happen. Most of the time they say, I can't imagine this would happen. And I've even been in the delivery room multiple times where teen girls come in with abdominal pain and they're delivering a baby. And no one ever even knew, even themselves. And you think, is that possible? Can you really not know? But I think knowing what we know about the brain, there's a phenomenon called dissonance or cognitive dissonance where their brain kind of detaches from logical thinking. And it's almost like a protective thing. They're just a coping mechanism where they just go into denial. That can absolutely happen. I have met parents at that point of need. But we need to have a door open, and we need to recognize that in that moment, we are not so much mad at our teenagers. We're mad that this has come into their life and harmed them in some way, that they've experienced something that is unexpected. We know the pain that they might experience. We know the challenges that are ahead. And there's a disconnect between what we want the situation to be in that moment and what it actually is. And this is why we have to engage in this conversation. So many times I've counseled so many teenage girls who need to go and tell their parents that they are pregnant. And their overwhelming emotion, by far and away almost every time, is fear. And I'm not talking about just anxiousness or a little bit of fear. They are quaking. They are so afraid of what their parents' response is going to be. And what we say and what we do in that moment could set a trajectory that could literally change the course of their life. So often what parents say is, I can't believe you did this. This is so unbelievable. This is so hurtful. What were you thinking? Are you kidding me? We say things like that, and it's not what we mean. It's just from that place of emotion. And I would challenge you as parents to say that that will happen if you don't allow yourself to make a plan in advance and think through, what would I say if my child came to me with the unexpected, whether that's an unexpected pregnancy or any other thing that your kid discloses? But saying those things, they just see it as, I'm a terrible kid. I have hurt you. I've disappointed you. I've ruined my life. I don't see any way forward. And if we can just train ourselves to say and think, this is what I would say in that situation. Just, I'm so sorry that you've experienced this. I know this is hard. I know that there are going to be hard things ahead. But the first thing I want you to know is that I love you no matter what. And I'm here to support you no matter what. And I will connect you to whatever resources you need in this season. We will find a way to get through this together. That doesn't validate any of the choices that they've made. That doesn't, you know, give them, say, okay, well, you know, everything's water under the bridge. Obviously, you're going to have to go back and work through those situations and telling them there will be tough conversations ahead. But I love you and I'm here to work through that with you. And parents, for those of you who specifically face an unexpected teen pregnancy, I would encourage you to think about this phrase, to say, let the first words out of your mouth be, a baby is always a blessing. A baby is always a blessing. It may not feel like that in the moment, but the truth is, I've just walked you through the miraculous development that happens, and babies are innocent. They don't ask to be conceived, and they're beautiful and miraculous. And just saying those words, that a baby is a blessing. Now, that might be a blessing to someone else through adoption. It might be a blessing through keeping the baby, but that baby is needing of your support. And saying that first, leading off with that. Listen, they already know everything else. Your teens already know that you're angry. They already know you're disappointed. They already know you're hurt. they already have thought through that way before they even come and tell you. And that's what they're expecting. They know that. They expect that. And I'm not saying that you're not any of those things. You are those things. But going to that moment when something blindsides you, when your heart drops, when you get tunnel vision, that decision can change the course of your teen's life, and it may even save it. How you react in that moment can permanently shape their self-image, their behavior, their decision-making, and their future willingness to work with you to create a plan to mitigate whatever circumstances it is that they're feeling. It's so hard to stay calm and to do that. But honestly, if we would be bold enough and brave enough to say, you know what? My kid is a kid. My kid is a human. My kid is vulnerable to making poor choices. My kid could be a good kid who makes a poor choice, just like I could be a good parent who makes a poor choice in my parenting. That can happen. And parents, I'll especially say, I think this is much harder for kids who are really plugged into a church. Because at the time, if they have this, if they encounter this, an unexpected pregnancy, they need community and support in a church body more than they've ever needed in their entire life. And yet they're going to feel more shame and more trepidation and more fear about accessing that support. It's really hard. And it can be even harder to disclose that because they're going to say that you said, I know you know better. You knew that. But regardless of the situation, no matter what it is, if they are coming to you and disclosing something with you, overwhelmingly, the odds say they're distressed. They're at a tipping point. They're not going to find out and then come tell you right away. That usually doesn't happen. They're going to think through everything and think, okay, I need help. So saying, I'm sorry you experienced this. This news is upsetting. Let's take some time to let our emotions settle down and we'll talk about it some more. But no matter what, I love you no matter what, and we will get through this together. Does this mean there's no further action taken, no further conversations? Of course not. But in that moment, validate their feelings. Offer a safe emotional haven for further discussion. Acknowledge the reality of the trauma they've experienced if they have. Seek professional mental health services early if you need to, if you know they're going to need effective coping, if you know they need resilience and mental health support. And recognize this experience does not have to define their character forever. And you as a parent can offer a path to grace and restoration with dignity. You can express your unconditional love and realize in that moment you are shaping their view of the way God loves them. Teens often hide things because they have fear. But if you create open channels of communication and some ground rules for disclosure, if you create a safe space and open a door for grace, help them reclaim their dignity and their self-worth if they feel like it's lost, you can lead with courage towards restoration and reflect God's kindness. Remember that God will never leave you or forsake you. And through seasons of challenge, you are never alone. If you want to provide an ultrasound for a mom, call 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396, or donate online, afr.net. Tomorrow, we're talking all things cyberbullying. I'll see you then.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.